الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. Inshallah, after the remaining du'a, every Tuesdays we will be having the lessons from the lives of the pious. So we're starting off with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So today we'll be going through the life of Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So inshallah, just for a couple of minutes, so brothers requested to participate inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله السلام السلام الله يا رب يا كريم اللهم ربنا اهدنا في صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters who may be listening. We started this series of going through of lectures wherein we go through the life of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we started with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we moved on to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And it was quite a while back, and then we just stopped because of classes, etc., and programs. But because it's the month of Ramadan, I just thought, you know what, one of these days, one of the days in the week, we'll just use to actually continue this series. So because we discussed the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the next person whose life we'll be discussing is Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is a very important personality, extremely important personality. And out of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu has a very special status.
Assalamu alaikum. Brothers, can you keep the noise down, please? Namaz khatam hua, idhar dars bhi ho raha hai, aur aap log kya kar raha hai, idhar gup shuru ho gaya. Agar baat karna hai, ghar mein chala jao. Agar baat karna hai, to bahar chala jao. What are you talking in the masjid for? This is the house of Allah. Please. Jazakallah.
So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a very important personality. As we mentioned before, when we were discussing the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, we mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four daughters. Sayyidatuna Zainab, Ruqayya, Ummi Kulthum, and Fatima radiallahu anhunna ajma'in. And from those daughters, his eldest daughter, Sayyidatuna Zainab radiallahu anha, was married to a person whose name was Abu al-As. And Abu al-As radiallahu anha, later on he became Muslim. And then two of his daughters, Ummi Kulthum and Ruqayya radiallahu anhuma, they were married to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is why he was known as Dhun-Nurayn, the one who Allah blessed with two noors, two lights. Two of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were betrothed to him, were married to him. And then the final and most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the apple of the eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved the most, to the extent that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing away, then when he informed the people that he was about to leave the dunya, then his daughter Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha became so upset. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quietly went to her and whispered a few words in her ear. And she became overjoyed. She became so happy. So when then someone asked her later on, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to you? She said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in his talk that he will be leaving the dunya very soon. And then when he saw me upset, he said to me, you will follow me very shortly. You're coming straight after me. And this made me so happy. She had just been informed that she is about to die very soon. But because of the news that she will be with her father sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the akhirat very, very soon, this made her so overjoyed and so happy that she became extremely elated. And it's mentioned in 1 or 2 years time after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha actually left the dunya as well. Anyway, this Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, regarding whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in many ahadith, that out of all of the women in Jannah, the leaders of the women in Jannah will be 4 in some narrations, 3 in some narrations. 4 in most narrations. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. Khadija, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. And Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. These are the greatest women to have ever walked upon the face of the earth. And these will be the leaders of all of the women in Jannah. And this daughter was married to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So you can imagine how much love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for this individual Sayyidina Ali, that he actually would give his beloved, most prized daughter to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in marriage. And if we hear the incident of how they got married, it's very amusing. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Ali, I wish to get Fatima married to you. Ali radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, I've got nothing. I've not got a single penny. What am I supposed to give? You know, nowadays we look for damad and we look for our bridegrooms and we think they need to be very wealthy. Rasulullah proposed for Sayyidatina Fatima radiallahu anhu to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu is saying, ya Rasulullah, I've got nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, borrow something. borrow some money and arrange for the marriage. So Ali radiallahu anhu was actually borrowing money to facilitate his own wedding, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was well aware. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the worth of Ali radiallahu anhu. He knew how special Ali radiallahu anhu was in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, I'm going to start by what Imam al-Wasiti does in this book. Is he mentions some brief details about the background of Ali radiallahu of each sahabi, and then some details about their life, and towards the end he mentions some quotes that they said, some quotes which we can use to help ourselves become better Muslims and connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we read the lives of the pious, we don't want to just hear stories about how amazing they were, because that's all very good and very true, but how can we benefit? So this is why many times we hear their quotations, many of the statements they said, many advices they gave to us, and we use those advices to take motivation and to benefit. So inshallah that will come later on. Anyway, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the son of Abu Talib, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was his elder brother Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he also became a Muslim. And then he had another brother whose name was Aqil. Aqil did not become a Muslim in the early days, and some narrations mention he did not become a Muslim. However, his son, Aqil's son, his name was Muslim bin Aqil. Muslim bin Aqil became a Muslim. And Muslim bin Aqil was from the strong supporters of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. When Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred at Karbala, Muslim bin Aqil was fighting around him to defend him, to support him. So they were all very, very close. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu grew up in the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his uncle Abu Talib had many, many children. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized his uncle Abu Talib was like a father to him. He had raised him since his grandfather, from the time his grandfather had passed away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his other uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Oh my dear uncle, let's go to Abu Talib. We know he's struggling. He's got many children. Why don't we go to him and propose an offer to him that why don't you give some of your children to us? They can live with us, they can grow up in our houses. We're happy to do so, because we're all family." So they went to Abu Talib, and Abu Talib said, "That's fine. You can take Ja'far and you can take Ali, but leave Aqil with me." It's so amazing. He said, "Take Ja'far and take Ali and leave Aqil with me." Ja'far and Ali, the ones who he sent out of his house, became Muslim. And Aqil did not become Muslim, the one who he kept at home. Because his father, Abu Talib, did not become Muslim either. So the influence of the father is very strong. So what he did was, he sent his youngest son, Ali radiallahu anhu, to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his eldest son, Ja'far, to the house of Abbas. And both of these two individuals, they grew up in these respective households. Ja'far in the house of Abbas radiallahu anhu, and Ali in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the early days, he was just a child. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been made a Nabi, a prophet of Allah. He would observe the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even before he was a prophet, he knew how his cousin Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, his characteristics, his akhlaq, his conduct with people, his kindness, his soft-heartedness, his truthfulness. He knew this. He knew this better than anyone. He was growing up in the house of this man. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah ta'ala made him a Nabi, initially he didn't go to everyone and give da'wat. He didn't call everyone. Why? Because the da'wah, the invitation, the propagation towards Islam was supposed to be very quiet in the beginning. Allah Ta'ala had commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Go to people who you will feel that they will actually accept the message and invite them." So the first person Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, of course, was his dear wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and thereafter Sayyidina Abu Bakr, because Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the closest friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then said to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to openly go and call people towards Islam." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, that permission is not granted. Go quietly and invite person one by one, one by one." But then we mentioned, when we discussed the chapter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how he couldn't contain himself. Once he just went in front of the Kaaba and he just shouted out, "I am a Muslim and this is my religion and this is the truth." They couldn't contain themselves. But anyway, this was the da'wah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very cautious of telling Ali. Because he thought, if I told Ali radiallahu anhu, Ali is going to go to his father Abu Talib, and Abu Talib is my uncle, I don't know what he's going to think. I don't think he's ready for me to tell him about Islam yet. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell Ali radiallahu anhu. But Ali radiallahu anhu found out from the different actions of worship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anhu, they would perform salah and they would do different things. So he realized. So then once he asked his cousin Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh Muhammad, what is this that you are doing?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him that this is the religion of Islam. Allah ta'ala has made me a prophet, that we should worship only one God, Allah, and we should not associate any partners with Allah. Allah ta'ala does not have any partners. Allah has no helpers. Allah has no assistants. So then he said, "Oh Ali, what do you think about this religion?" Ali was a child. He said, "I think it's an amazing thing, but I need to ask my father first before I follow it." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Look, you think about it. If you want to become a Muslim, become a Muslim. If you don't want to, you don't have to, but don't tell your father yet." He said, "Don't tell your father yet." So the next day, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, "Oh Muhammad, I've thought about it long and hard and I want to become a Muslim." And he became a Muslim and he didn't even tell his own father. And the amazing similarity here is between Ali radiallahu anhu and which Nabi can we think of who recognized Allah ta'ala as a child? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala mentions his whole story, how Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a child, his father was building idols. His father was the carpenter who used to carve idols for the people of the town to worship. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was not satisfied. And then he would ask questions, many questions, and he was just not satisfied. So this is a very interesting similarity between Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because from the time Ali became Muslim, you know children, the other day someone brought a child to me, one of the children in our madrasa brought another child, a non-Muslim child. And he said, "Qais, this child wants to become Muslim." So obviously I didn't jump and say, "Yeah, shahada, come down to the masjid, everybody shahada." Because anyway, he's just a child. Who knows what he's thinking? Who knows what he's thinking? So I said, "Look, do your parents know you're here?" I said, "Yeah, my mum sent me. She said you can go to the mosque." I said, "Well, tomorrow I want you to come with your mum." I thought if he really is sincere and genuine and he's really understood Islam somehow, Allah knows, Allah can give hidayah to anyone. If he brings his mother, then at least I can give the da'wah to his mother as well. The next day he doesn't appear anymore. So I asked the other boy who brought him, "Where is your friend you brought yesterday?" He said, "Well, he said he doesn't want to be Muslim anymore today. Gee, he doesn't want to be Muslim anymore because his parents said he can't be Muslim." So this is the nature of children. You know, one day they say one thing, the next day another thing. This is just a child for you. But look at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Again, a similarity with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. From the time they recognized Allah ta'ala, they were so strong upon this faith. So strong. The most courageous person, if you were to look at out of all of the Sahaba and say who was the most courageous, not physically the most strong, but just the most brave and courageous, everybody can say it was Ali radiallahu anhu. He was a skinny, thin, young man. And when he would walk into the battlefield, it's like he was a lion. He would have so much courage, so much power, so much strength. And inshallah, the incidents will come later on. Allah ta'ala had given him such himmah and such courage. When he was a child, he became a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the command in the Quran, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Invite your close family members. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called all of his family members to a big da'wah, to a big meal. And in the meal, first he fed them, and this is the sunnah, to first feed people before actually giving them an important message. So he fed them. After feeding them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he gave them the da'wah of Islam. And he called them towards Allah Ta'ala. And then everybody was very, you know, they weren't ready for this. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Who will stand up to help me? Who will stand up to assist me in my message? My responsibility of prophethood? Who will help me? Who will make it easy for me?" Nobody stood up. And then Ali radiallahu anhu stands up as a child. Everybody starts laughing. Every single person at that meal started to laugh. This child. And they're saying, "Oh Muhammad, look, these are your supporters, a child, nobody else is supporting you." But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy that Ali had stood up, he made special du'as for him at this time. And Ali as a child, we see how he defended Islam. Anyway, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I'm going to go on to these incidents anyway. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he became the fourth Khalifa. And he was actually the first Khalifa to be from the Banu Hashim, from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the first Khalifa was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He is from the Banu Taym. And then it was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, who was from the Banu Adi. They were all from the Quraysh, but they were from different families. They were not from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu is from the Banu Adi. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu was from the Banu Umayyah. And then Ali radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, and he was actually from the Banu Hashim, from the same family as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I mentioned in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's chapter as well, that if we were to ask who was the first person to become Muslim, it can be mentioned that out of women folk, it was Khadija radiallahu anha, out of the men, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and out of the children, it was Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. Some have mentioned one is first, the other one was second, but what we can say is best to leave it in this way. From the women, Khadija, from the men, Abu Bakr, from the children, Ali, and if you want to say from the slaves, then you can say Zayd bin Haritha. These four were from the earliest people to become Muslim. I'm going to mention a few points, and then I'm going to finish because I don't like taking it too long. It's Ramadan, as I always mention. I prefer people sit and do dhikr. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the famous hadith that four actions we should do excessively in Ramadan. The first one should be kathratu la ilaha illallah, excessively sending reciting the first kalima la ilaha illallah in Ramadan. The second one is istighfar, we should also do this excessively. The third one is asking Allah to save us from Jahannam, and the third one is to ask Allah for, fourth one is to ask Allah for Jannah. These are the four things we should do excessively. So I'd rather not take your time up where you could be busy engaged in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. So I'm going to mention a few more points about the virtues of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and then I'm going to carry on next Tuesday inshallah. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he migrated to Medina after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to migrate early, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, Ali, you're going to migrate with me. And then on the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to migrate to Medina, was going to do hijrah to Medina, it was a very dangerous day. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that every person in Quraysh, all of his enemies in Makkah, if they were to find out the exact time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be departing and leaving Makkah, they would attack him and they would try to harm him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Ali and said, Oh Ali, in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Oh Ali, I'm going to be leaving tonight. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, am I coming with you? He said, No, you're going to stay here and you're going to sleep in my bed. Think about this. He's putting him into danger. That these people, and as we learn in the seerah, the people had actually surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One person from each tribe, that when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves, we will all attack him and kill him. And then if we were to trace, because what would happen if is one person from one tribe, one assassin, was to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Banu Hashim would extract revenge from that tribe. But if there was one man from each tribe of Makkah, then Banu Hashim will be overpowered. They will be powerless. They won't be able to do anything. So what happened was, there was a group of assassins who had gathered, one man from each tribe of the Quraysh, and they were standing outside the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left that night. And the famous incident is that he took some soil, some dust off the ground, and then he mentioned the verse of Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And then he blew on this dust, and then he scattered the dust. And as soon as he scattered the dust, every single man who was standing there waiting to attack the Prophet ﷺ, they became oblivious. They could not see that Rasulullah ﷺ had left the house, and Rasulullah ﷺ went. And Ali radiallahu anhu is sleeping in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the morning, they forcefully broke down the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they came and they moved the sheets and they saw it was Ali. And they said, where is Muhammad? And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, he left a long time ago. He left many hours ago. So imagine his bravery. He is in the spot of danger as a young child or in his teenage age. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that Ali can handle it. So he said, Oh Ali, I'm leaving. After I leave, because the people of Arabia, people of Makkah, still trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though they did not accept his message, they still knew he was trustworthy. So they had given many of their prized possessions and items and wealth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for safekeeping, to look after. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Ali, I have this person's this thing, that person's that thing, all of these people's possessions. As soon as I go, make sure you wake up in the morning, give everybody back what they're owed. Give everybody back their possessions, and then you can come and join me in Medina. So this is what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu did, and then he went and joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. Inshallah, I'm going to stop there, and we're going to continue on the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu next Tuesday. JazakAllah khairan, subhanallah, subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.